The Wall Street Journal said he's one of the most innovative minds in football.
He's a rat.
ESPN once called him the guru of the spread.
Scumbag.
Football Scoop labeled him the mastermind behind college football's number one offense.
Nobody likes him, not even his family.
He took three separate teams over a five-year period and made each a top 10 offense.
Yeah, but he's such a horse's ass. He was fired by future United States Senator Tommy Tuberville in the middle of the season, even though he had a 5-2 record.
No wonder CBS Sports said there's never been quite a coach like Franklin. He marches to a different beat.
Pariah, an outcast, a person or animal that is despised, shunned, or avoided. Warning, buckle up and put your big boy pants on. This isn't your friendly kiss-ass coach's show. If you can handle the truth, eject immediately.
And now, from parts unknown, it's the Pigskin Pariah. The one, the only, Coach Tony Franklin.
It's on. The season is on. I know we've already had a couple of games that have come that you guys have been able to watch from home, but it's here, guys. I'm making this recording on Thursday. There's a bunch of games tonight. Friday, there's a bunch of games. Saturday, there's a bunch of games. Sundays, there's a bunch of games. For the next 4 months, guess what? You are going to get the real scoop, the real evaluations, the real analytics. You're going to get it right here because it's time. Football season is here. And I've been studying this for 54 years of my life. I've been waiting for this opportunity where I don't have anything invested. I'm not going to go coach. I'm definitely not going to go play. I got nobody's ass to kiss. I got nobody to please. And so you, the listener of the Coach Tony Franklin podcast, you're going to get the best shit that has ever been done on a football season. I'm talking about college. I'm talking about NFL. I'm talking about high school. But I'm going to tell you about something special that I'm getting ready to do. I've sat and evaluated and looked and tried to think of what is the greatest gift that I could give a coach. What is the greatest gift I could give a avid football fan, somebody that loves the game and really wants to see the inner workings and wants to get opinions that, in all honesty, you just don't get very much in sports. There's always something. I have no interest in interviewing coaches. I've got no interest in getting Coach Johnny on and saying, "Hey, Coach Johnny, what do you think about the game?" "Well, you know, we just didn't play very good, and I got to get the kids better next week. But our kids are really good kids, and they're trying hard." Hell no. Nobody gives a shit about that. I got no interest in firing a coach every week. Coming out and say, "Well, he lost the first game. It's time. Let's start the coaching fire rumors because we want people to listen." I got no interest in doing that. And I think that there are thousands upon thousands upon thousands of you that don't want that either. You just want what's really going on. What is the real? What's the real thing that's going on behind the scenes? What's the real thing that went on in the game? And so what I've done is I have selected that I'm going to spend the next 4 months embedded more than I have ever been in studying football all across this country and giving you the evaluations for what players are doing, coaches are doing, and most of all, we're going to take some of the teams across this country and we're going to look at them and their biggest opponent, their biggest rivalry that normally is played at the end of the season. And we're going to follow those teams all the way through. So, for example, Kentucky and Louisville, Auburn and Alabama, Georgia and Florida, Texas, Oklahoma, LSU, Texas A&M, Army, Navy, Ohio State, Michigan, Clemson and South Carolina, Ole Miss, Mississippi State, Cal and Stanford, USC, UCLA, Oregon, Oregon State, USC, Notre Dame, and Middle Tennessee and Western Kentucky. Hell, if you call a game 100 miles of hate, you got to follow it. Every week, I'm going to give you an updated version of what happened in the games that these teams played leading up to their rivalry game against each other. We'll follow the injuries. We'll follow what I see. It might be that after 2 weeks of the season, I think LSU is going to beat Texas A&M by 3 touchdowns. It might be by the week that they play each other that I've got it the other way around based upon nothing but what I watch on film. I'm fortunate that I'm going to have access to watching film the same way that I did as a college coach. And I'm also going to eventually offer a select group of you the ability to watch it with me. I'm talking about watching film the way that coaches do, finding things the way coaches do, finding the weaknesses, finding the strengths of the other opponent that they're getting ready to play. I'm going to have real predictions. I want to answer your questions, and I want to make this the greatest show in the history of football podcasting. And here's the cool thing. I don't need any other coaches on. I don't want anybody on. I don't want anybody that I've got to be nice to. All I want is to give you exactly what is going on based upon film, based upon people I know listening and talking. So let's go ahead and let's start this thing off. We've already had a game of one of these rival games. UCLA-USC is a great rivalry, and UCLA has already played a game. So what happened when Chip Kelly started his season off with against Hawaii? Hawaii has had years to where they've won 9, 10, 11, 12 games. Hawaii's had times where they've upset people. Hawaii has been a good football program at different times. They've had their highs and their lows and their ups and downs. So it was a good opening game for Chip Kelly. And who the hell is Chip Kelly? Is he a great coach? He obviously was at New Hampshire. He obviously was at Oregon. He was for a couple of years with the Philadelphia Eagles until he wasn't. And he wasn't with the San Francisco 49ers. And with UCLA, they just haven't been that good. So was Chip Kelly just a one-shot wonder? Was he somebody that got to the right place at the right time, right when the money was going into Oregon? He took advantage of it, and he was able to run a unique system, play super fast tempo before it was cool, and get Oregon to heights that they'd never been before. Is that the Chip Kelly? Or is Chip Kelly really a damn good football coach that's got some really unique perspectives and some unique ways of doing stuff? And is the magic of Chip Kelly back? Well, when you watch the first game, UCLA's first game against Hawaii, here is what I saw. This is my evaluation. Chip Kelly, in their opening game against Hawaii, they look like a good football team. Offensively, they had two good running backs that pounded the ball. The O-line looked very sound, very physical. If you know the way that Chip plays, he's very basic in the run game approach. They usually play really fast up-tempo. They give a lot of unbalanced and tight ends. Guess what? No unbalanced, no tight ends. 4 wide the entire game. Never before in the history of Chip Kelly has that happened. So was it a mirage? Was he just setting LSU up? All he did was run one basic pass route. They ran 4 verticals and they ran tags off of that. For you new people, what's a tag? A tag means that you run a route, but you change one little thing by adding one word. So let's say the 4 vertical route is called a go route, but I want the Y to drag across the field. So I might just call go Y drag. Or I want the H to run an option route where he's going to go up the field 4, 5, 6 yards, and he's either going to break it in, break it out, or he's going to set it down. So I call go H option. Or I want the running back to run an option. Or I want the running back to slip out of the backfield. I just tag it by adding one word to it. That's all he did against Hawaii. And they were effective. They ran the ball really well. They threw the ball just okay. I thought the quarterback was erratic. There's some things fundamentally when I watch him play that I think he could get better at. I think if his feet got better, you'll hear me say this a lot during the season because I believe in feet make a quarterback accurate. I believe if his feet got better, he could be a much more accurate quarterback. He's a good runner, but he's not a great runner against great people. So what does that mean? That means that he's going to have good runs against people that are not great defenses. He's not a guy that's going to blow you away against a great defense as a runner. He'll make some plays. He'll keep some plays alive. He's fun to watch. He's tough, and he's exciting to watch. but I didn't see the incredible ability when he's out in space. I saw one particular play where he broke into space. He should have scored easily on a touchdown, but he made a really bad cut, a bad decision, and didn't get the ball into the end zone. But they've got just enough on offense to play the style of play that Chip wants to play. I believe that what they did against Hawaii was a mirage. I don't believe that'll be the same offense you see against LSU. Why does the coach do that? He's just basically throwing a fake. He's throwing something out there that LSU's going to go, did we just see what we just saw? Is this what these guys really are? And if it is, if he's going to be a four-wide team and be as basic and as simple as he was, it's going to be interesting to see whether or not it works. I don't believe he's got good enough players to be that simple. But I do believe that he is a unique coach. And if you're a unique coach, like Mike Leach, for example, you got to get guys in that are willing to buy into your weirdo-ness. You got to get guys that believe in your uniqueness. And that takes a couple of years. And so for Chip now, he's been there long enough that I believe that he's recruited enough people that believe in him, both coaches and players. And his uniqueness, his unique style is something that is going to work because he's got his players there. They're going to play better defense. They were really aggressive on defense. They got after it. They tackled good in space against Hawaii. And I'll just say this, Hawaii looked bad. I don't know if Hawaii looked that bad because UCLA's that good. I don't think that's the answer. But Hawaii did not look very good at all. They didn't look like a very good football team. So UCLA could be great. Hawaii could end up being okay. But I think what I saw during this game was Chip Kelly has got a team of guys that believe in him. They were excited to play. They were excited when they scored. Everybody was rallying to the football. And usually that's a sign that everybody on that field agrees with the coaching style of their head football coach. The defense, like I said, was physical. The one thing I saw with the defense, and again, maybe this was something that they were just throwing fakes to LSU, but they gave away their coverages on pre-snap. If they do that, if they give away their coverages as much as they did in that first game against Hawaii, LSU will get the matchups they want, and LSU will be able to hit home runs. They'll be able to hit big shots against them whenever they want to. So basically, what do I think is going to happen? Is Chip Kelly back? Is he for real as we build up to the final season game or their final matchup against USC near the end of the season? I believe he is. I picked them before I saw them play. I picked them to win their division and to be able to play in the championship game. I believe that they're going to be a really good football team. Does that mean they can beat LSU? LSU is going to have better players. They're going to have more talent than UCLA. But here's what I believe. I believe LSU hit the magic spot a couple of years ago when they had the great quarterback and they had the coordinator that goes off and goes back into the NFL. Orgeron's trying to recapture that by hiring similar type people. They were terrible on defense last year, especially early in the season because they played man coverage every play. And anybody, Mike Leach, tore them apart. And Mike will always do that to somebody that plays man every snap. But they won't do that anymore. But when I looked at the coaching substitutions, the people that are hired to take the places of the people that were there, and I look at all this, and I know that they're going to have better players, and I know that they had to leave with Katrina that came in, with all that in place, I believe that UCLA will beat LSU and that UCLA will be a contender for the title. I don't believe that LSU will be, but it's going to be interesting to watch. It's going to be something to see. And guess what? We're going to watch them every week. We're going to watch these rivalries throughout the season, and I am going to give you the best information that you've ever had following college football all season long. And I want everybody to get ready for a special episode on Monday, because on Monday, we're going to release the first ever interview on the Coach Tony Franklin podcast. I had an interview with the Washington Post reporter, Kent Babb. If you don't know who Kent is, you need to study and find out. He's one of the best investigative reporters in all of the country. He covers sports. He's a brilliant writer, grew up in South Carolina. But the reason that I had Kent on, I just read the best sports book of my life, and it's not really about sports. You'll enjoy it if you're a football guy. If you're a sports guy, you'll enjoy the book. But the book, he spent a year, a football season, embedded at Edna Carr High School down in New Orleans, Louisiana, in a place where the level of gun violence for young men is 56 times higher than what it is throughout the United States for other situations. And Kent is going to go into great detail about spending a season with one of the most fascinating men in the history of football, Coach Bryce Brown. He's won championship after championship after championship. He's one of the most unusual men, one of the most brilliant coaches, and one of the most caring human beings that's ever been on the face of this earth. He's got a unique style of coaching and a unique style of living. And Kent Babb takes us into their lives with full access. And it is an amazing interview. So for about 90 minutes on Monday, you get to hear an investigative Washington Post reporter. And the story that he told is so intriguing and so well told that George Clooney has already bought the movie rights to Across the River. So join us on Monday. We're going to have a podcast every day between now and then. I am fired up. If you can't tell in my voice, I'm excited as hell. I'm going to be working my ass off to give you guys more good football than you could ever imagine and more good stories. We'll talk soon.
Thanks for listening to today's show. One, go to coachtf.com/podcast and leave us your email so we can send you your free download for our Pigskin Pocket Card, which gives you 10 simple steps to follow daily to ensure an amazing life. Two, do something good today for someone who can never repay you, and you'll have truly lived an amazing life. 3. Join us Monday through Friday for new episodes and download any of our episodes wherever you get your podcast or simply download from our coachtf.com/podcast. 4. Give us a 5-star review today so we can continue to put together entertaining and informative episodes. Always remember, do good, no repay.